mercies endures forever. I just bless you this morning, and I pray that the Lord would open our hearts and our minds, give us access to his will, that his word may prosper in our hearts and it may not return void, but may accomplish all that the Lord has intended it for do. In Jesus' name, everybody say it. Amen. I was just asking Sue, is this the first message I preached since I turned 70? And we figured out it wasn't. It's the second message. But, you know, when you get 70, you forget those things. So, hallelujah. I love being 70 because now, as I said last time, I can say anything I want to say without facing any criticism from anyone. So just, if you ever want to be critical of me, just take pity upon me because of my age. Amen. I know I'm joking a little bit, right? I actually feel like I'm about 39, so I may not appear that way, but when your eyes are open, you will see. The Lord is good. Amen. Chapter 8 of Romans. We're going to start there this morning. I feel this morning there was kind of a shift in direction the last couple of days and what the intention I felt in my heart that it was going to speak on. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the restoration of the temple. And I really enjoyed the message. And if you haven't heard it, you should go back, at least to listen to the prophecies that I spoke about Austin and this region. But it was a challenging message in the sense that the Lord was saying that we need to shake ourselves out of any complacency or any passivity so we can press in to the fullness of that which God has set before us, such as the children of Israel, when they came out of Babylon, were faced with a great challenge, not only of marching back to Jerusalem, going up to Jerusalem, but once they got there, the challenge became, would they be willing to complete the task that God had set before them? And as we understand, that's usually the most difficult part of our relationship to the Lord is finishing the course, finishing the work, and completing the journey that God has set before us. Because a lot of things are pitfalls to that completion. And I'm not going to talk about that this morning, but I wanted to touch about it just a little bit because the journey is so important. And we always want to keep our eyes on the prize. Looking unto Jesus. Everybody say, looking unto Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. So we know there's a beginning, but we also know there's an ending. There's a starting point, but there's a finishing point. And that's the thing that we need to continually grasp in our hearts, that what God has started in us, he wants to complete that in us. And this morning, I want to not shift gears, but go into something that's related to this, and I call it the kingdom of access. Everybody say it with me, the kingdom of access. In Romans chapter 8, it's an incredible chapter, of course, talks about so much about becoming a son. But I want to go on down to verse 32 to begin with. It said, moreover, he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everybody say, God freely gives all things. So in the access, we see God wants access to us so that we can what? Receive all things from him. I like that part, don't you? How many like to get something? Do you like getting things? I know, I remember when I was a little kid, and that's part of being 70 also, I can remember back to when I was a kid. I can't remember yesterday, but I remember when I was a kid, and Christmas time would come, and my sister and I would hide behind the couch, so we wanted to get a glimpse of what Santa Claus was bringing. And we were too afraid to look when my dad, who we thought was Santa Claus, came into the room. And then we would sneak out and we would try to unwrap the packages without being detected. But guess what? That never works, right? But we wanted to find out what was being given to us. And that's the natural instinct of all of us is to anticipate the gift. And the Lord wants us to be that way. He wants us to be like little children that's anticipating what he's about to do for us. He wants to have an access to give to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He wants to give us everything of his nature and his heart, especially his love. Amen? How do you define God? God is love, right? We can really dumb this thing down and make it very simple when we say all that really matters is, do we have an understanding of the love of God that's being beamed towards us? Because if we can receive from God, if we can open ourselves up to receive what God has to give us, and we allow him to have access to us, then it gives us the understanding that we're also should have access back to him. That's the purpose of a gift, isn't it? A gift always builds a bridge so that something can transfer over that bridge. When you give something to someone, you open a channel or a door to their heart. That's what God did for us, isn't it? He gave us his son, Jesus Christ, literally opened a door to us. He first loved us. Are you glad of that? We didn't have to conjure up some kind of love out of some supposed God that just conjures up out of us to make something happen. God shed his love upon us so incredibly abundantly by giving us his son, it literally invades our life. See, love is always and should be invasive. It always should aggressively invade us. And that's how God is to us. He always looks upon us aggressively to create a relationship with us. He doesn't just leave the relationship to happenstance, but he determines the relationship by his action. You see, when your actions always determine the outcome of what's going to happen in your life. The Lord knew by giving himself to us, it would have a set result. Amen? If he gave himself to us, he knows that there'd be at least some of us that would return that love back to him. And that's how it works in your life, too. When you go out into the world, the actions you take, the steps you take of faith, and how you give and how you respond to people determines the outcome of what you are and what you become. Amen? It says that he that gives a little bit will receive a little bit, but he that gives a lot will receive an abundance. If you give, good, it'll be brought back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men return it to you. So there's this thing that happens in access, that we're allowing this access to come to us so that we can in turn connect with him. See, nothing in this life will ever matter unless it's based upon the connection you have with him. Because you're not here to represent yourself. You're here to represent something greater than you. Amen? So the access that God has to us and that we have back to him creates a unity with him. Access must take place in order for unity to flourish. If you have a heart that has built walls around it, if you have a heart that protects itself from hurt, and you don't give access into the tender depths of your spirit, you're limiting what can happen in your life. Granted, by opening your heart, you also become vulnerable to the fact that you may get hurt. But we've all heard the old adage, you know, love hurts. Amen? Right? Love hurts. It hurts to be in love because in love has to, as love works in you, love purifies you. Love cuts you deep because love is not intended just to be poured on you. But love comes and confronts us because it separates and divides and takes away the things within us that aren't a proper representation of his nature. So God in his love towards us doesn't just serp all over us. You know what serping all over means? Does anybody know what that means? How many like to eat pancakes or waffles? I just like to overdose with syrup, right? I mean, I don't know if pancakes taste good or not. I've never tasted one. All I can taste is the syrup. They say, eat chicken and waffles. Well, what's the point? I mean, you're not going to taste the chicken anyway, just the syrup, right? I don't want to taste the pancakes or the chicken. I want to taste the syrup. Well, most people want God. They want God only to be syrupy. Oh, God, I just love me so much. Yeah, God's going to love you, but that love isn't just syrup. That love is to create. See, love has a purpose in its expression. It's never just there to comfort you and satisfy you, but it's to create in you. God beams love to us. And, you know, that's how we justify this Hebrews 12 crazy scripture that says, whom God loveth, he chasteneth. I don't like that scripture because I'm a chicken. I don't want chastisement. And when my parents tried to discipline me, I ran as fast as I could and as far as I could. I didn't voluntarily say, okay, have at it. No, I'm not dumb. I distanced myself from the anger of my parents because I knew that if I got far enough away, long enough, that they'd probably calm down and the punishment would be less severe. And I could tell you some stories, but forget about it. I won't. I forgot about it. But God beams love into us, and it has such an incredible power to transform us as we open our heart to receive it. And it creates this flow between you and God that creates an inseparable relationship with him. You know, he said in John 17, I and the Father are one. And now I'm praying that, Lord, they be one with us just the way we are. Love creates the bond of inseparability. There's no division in true love. See, if you really love someone, you can never be divided from them, no matter what the circumstances. If circumstances dictate your relationships, then you don't have really a relationship at all anyway. True love is never broken. Yeah, but they violated. They did something wrong. So I can't love them anymore. No, that's not true love. True love never ceases. It never fails. It always loves. So if you say you love me, if you say you love me conditionally, it's not true love. True love is unconditional. That doesn't mean that love is sloppy or grace is sloppy. We do know there's consequences to actions. But we should always know that he is always there for us, even when our actions are not right. We might not be in fellowship with him, and we might not want to be anywhere around him when we're disobedient or rebellious, but that doesn't change the fact that his love for us is consistent. And that anytime, anywhere, any day, we make any kind of reconciliation back towards him, he's there to meet us. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So love never fails. Love never gives up on the hope for their relationship to be what it's supposed to be. Amen? But see, when you get that in your spirit, and the reality that how much God really loves you. You know, it says in the book of Zephaniah, and I love this part. Wow. In the book of Zephaniah, it says, verse 17, chapter 3, the Lord God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love. and he will rejoice over you with singing. Think about that just for a moment. That it says that he will rejoice over you with the gladness out of his own heart. That's how much you mean to God. That he literally looks upon you as he looked upon his son Jesus Christ. What was Jesus Christ called? The apple of his eye. And because of your relationship with Jesus and your receiving of Christ, that Christ that's in you, you've got to understand the Father looks upon you as the apple of his eye. He sees you as a precious stone. He sees you as something so awesome. And this isn't a message about you feeling awesome. It's a message about you understanding how he feels about you. Because it's only when you understand how he feels about you will you understand how you're supposed to feel about yourself. If your opinion of yourself is low and your self-esteem is bad, the only cure for that is to understand there's a God that looks upon you with something greater than you can see yourself. See, not only do we approach God with faith, but God approaches us with faith. He has faith that you're going to be completed into all that he's called you to be. When he created you, when he formed you in your mother's womb, he could see not only the beginning of who you were, but he had a vision of what you're becoming. And so God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. God is true. And it says, if you love the Lord, if you love him, then he is faithful to complete in you what he has started in you. You may give up on yourself, and you may find that a lot of people around you give up on you because they see your faults. But guess what? There is one that never gives up on you. And we know this, that all things, verse 28 of chapter 8 of Romans, work together for good to those who love God, to those who he called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to those who love God. Amen? And so when we understand this principle of love, and we understand that the fact is that God will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us, nor we ever be found destitute, that he will always be there to supply to us the need that we have in our heart. So y'all sang a song. Let's take an intermission. Okay, no, I found it. I was going to have y'all sing along, but I found it, so forget about it. Amen? Woo! So, whenever we need something, whenever we desire something, the need that we have is to open our heart to understand how much he loves us. And that gives you an assurance. You know, it's called the assurance of your salvation. If you really know someone will embrace you and hold you and love you and forgive you and bless you no matter what, it gives you a great assurance. And it literally captures you so that it keeps you from straying. What causes us to go off into the deep abyss or go off into the dark places or fall off the wagon, so to speak? What causes you to backslide? It's the lack of your awareness of who you're connected to. You're connected to the Lord. But in that access, the beautiful thing that we're seeing God create now through the access that he has to us and the access that we have back to him because we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength because he first loved us, but this also we love one another. So the access not only is created vertically, but it's created horizontally. Because everything that God creates in you will transform from out from you to create the same atmosphere around you. See, when we talk about let's get everything in heaven upon earth, Well, there's a transference that comes from heaven that comes to earth. And that earth is you. Everybody say, I'm the earth. So the earth that we become, then we become the instrument of transformation around us. We become the actual point of access as well. Because Jesus was the Son that created the access to the Father. Now we are the sons that are creating access to one another, ultimately to the Father. Because our whole purpose in existence is to reconcile all things unto God. Amen. So what I become is creating in me the ability to reconcile or to bring everything into obedience to Him and captivity to Him. To bring everything to the throne of God and say, okay, now, because you loved me, that love created in me the heart of your Son so that I can become a son, a daughter, that brings back to you your kingdom. Because Jesus lived for one purpose. One purpose only Jesus lived for. It wasn't for you. It wasn't for the world, even though He did it for you and He did it for the world, but it was for Him. That's why Jesus lived, to came to do the will of the one who sent Him. He didn't come with an ulterior motive in mind. If God had had a different outcome in mind, then Jesus would have done that. But God's outcome was that He so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not die but have everlasting life. So Jesus' main purpose wasn't to do any of the stuff that we use Him for. His main purpose was to do the will of the one who sent Him, to grant access, to open the heaven. Pray this way: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. He became this spokesman, this channel of God's voice. He became this one that spoke for the one that sent Him. See, that's what God's bringing you to. He's bringing you to become spokesman. You're going to be speaking for the one who sent you. Amen. You're going to know the heart of the Father. And by knowing the heart of the Father, you're going to begin to speak as the Father speaks. Thus saith the Lord. You are becoming the oracles of the living God. Wow. Out of your mouth shall flow rivers of living water. For in your tongue is the power of life and death. That's what you're becoming. Ambassadors for Christ. Reconcilers. Whew. Man. Did we know God had all this in store for us when we first believed? No. But boy, it's exciting when you begin to understand it, right? That God tore down the walls of resistance by the aggressiveness of His love to rescue us from the disconnection that we as humans have had from that love. See, the only need I have right now, and I talk about oftentimes I don't have many needs. Well, I do have a need. I have a need to understand even greater how much He loves me. But in doing that, I also have a need to make you understand how much I love you. Because I'll never fully understand His love to me until I can be more expressive of that love to you. Because I've got to give the Lord access. But something that's given that's not given back becomes stagnant and dies. And we talked about the temple of Ezekiel. And I'm throwing this in, Cheryl. The temple of Ezekiel. Out of the temple, the four-sided temple, flowed the water. And it said the water flowed into the sea, the great sea, which is literally, I believe, talking about the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, you know, in Israel is way down below. It's one of the lowest place on the planet. And it's this great sea, but it's water, but the water is so salty that it has no life in it. So you look at this great volume of water, but there's no fish. There's nothing living in it. It's dead. But the scripture says that out of the temple will flow the water, and it will flow down through the valley. And there's a place there in Israel that it flows out of the mountains and actually goes down to the Dead Sea. And it said when the water that comes out of the house of God or out of the temple arrives at the place of death, life will spring forth. Fish will begin to live. Trees will begin to grow. Birds will begin to sing. Because it's the life that comes out of the temple of God that comes to nourish the places that are dead. And this is what God is looking for in this hour, is a people that will water the earth, that will water the places of death and bring life to that which has not existed before by the presence of the Lord flowing through them. Hallelujah. I like what Dale says. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. You know, Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How do you get filled with the fullness of God? To know the love of Christ. Say, why? I'm praying that the Holy Ghost just comes and fills me up. Yes. But really, that feeling he's talking about is love. Let's pray, God, send your love and fill me up. Because I don't want the Holy Ghost without love. It says faith works by what? Love. Gifts work by love. Power works by love. Healing works by love. I don't want a gift or anointing or a healing, all of those separate from the love of God, because if I have it separate from the love of God, it has no meaning. It's only expressed in the love. It becomes a powerful force of transition and transformation. Thank you, Lord. Woo. You see, the sons of God really have only one ministry, and one ministry only, and that is to impart the love of God to the world. Amen? Say, my ministry, our ministry, is to impart the love of God to the world. See, all he was here for was to tell us that we're not here to try to bring judgment. Judgment will come, right? We're not here to try to bring condemnation. Condemnation comes. We don't have to bring more judgment and more condemnation. There's plenty of it to go around. But we're here to prophesy salvation through love. We're here not to say, well, this is so bad, how are we going to escape? But we look and say, God is so great, our escape has already been given. It's already been proven for us. The one and only ministry of we as sons coming forth on the earth is to follow in the footsteps of Christ and to be an expression of the love of the Father unto the world. Amen. Lord, let us not be stopped in our inability or our refusal to receive your love. Give him access. Grant him a free pass into your life. Allow the places you've been stuck to no longer be the quagmires in your life anymore. But break out of that stagnation that you may be locked into by opening the floodgates of this great love to you and through you. Because it's the washing of the water of the Word of God, this cleansing word of love that comes, that this grace, this unparalleled favor of God that He pours into you, that you allow to be expressed through you, that cleanses you, brings you out of death, brings you into life, into abundance. Try it. Try giving a little bit this week. I was in a shop here recently this last weekend when I was on vacation, and I was buying sunglasses. I have to show you. I actually bought six pairs because I bought matching pairs for my wife and my grandchildren because I wanted them to understand that Papa is cool. Yeah, now, I may have miscalculated. That might not be cool after all. I don't know. But I thought it was. I saw these two young ladies, and they were wearing glasses like this. I said, "Where did you get those glasses?" They said, "At the Chili Bean." Huh? The Chili Bean? So I found the Chili Bean, and I went and got a pair of glasses. And I got thinking, you know, they would look good when we go on our trip this summer to Ruidoso, that all my grandkids and my wife, we could all wear our glasses and send pictures to Facebook. Okay. Oh, I had a point. Oh, the girl who sold them to me. Well, so that's where I was going. She was a lovely young lady. She had tats all over her arms and neck, and it was just fine. And kind of a weird haircut, you know what I'm saying? Was kind of and colored. And so, as I'm talking to her, I didn't put a heavy love, God loves you stuff on her in the beginning. But as I'm talking to her, she said, "Man, you've really made my day." I said, "How's that?" She said, "Well, I've been pretty grumpy. And you came in and things changed." And besides that, I work on commission and I appreciate selling six pairs of sunglasses. So I grabbed her arm and I looked at her in the eyes and I said, "You know, you're incredible. I love you. And I just want to bless you." And, you know, tears in her eyes. And I just said, "You know, you've been going through some struggles, haven't you?" She said, "Oh, man, if you only knew the struggles I've been going through. It's been hard." So I just spent a few minutes encouraging her and blessing her and talking to her. Nothing major. I didn't tell her I was a preacher. You know, none of that stuff. I did give her a card. Said, "Listen to some messages off this website." I didn't even tell her I was a pastor. But I'm just saying there's something about what they need out there is what you have. They need access to you. They need a connection. But it doesn't work unless you've got the connection first. And I almost missed it because I was really focusing on, you know, my need and sunglasses and all that. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, hey, I need to focus on him so I can bring that focus to her. I don't know if it helped her a lot, but it might have helped her a lot. I don't know. It could have been the very defining moment of her life. Who knows? We'll never know for sure, probably. But it could have defined her life. You know, you don't know how many people you can define and set them on a course that they never dreamed possible simply because you've got one hand in heaven and one hand on theirs. And you've created an access point so they can meet the Father. It's not about going out and giving them out tracts and saying, "Oh, you're such a sinner. You're going to die. You're going to go to hell." We used to give them out, you know, we had a picture of a coffin. And I don't know where the picture came from. I don't think it was designed for this. I think it was an anti-smoking picture. But it had a guy hanging his hand out the coffin with a cigarette burning. And so it, on the track it said, "Where will you go when you die?" And we, if we could convince enough people are going to go to hell, then maybe we could convince them that they could accept Christ. You see, God never ministers us from the need side. He always ministers to us from the supply side. It's not about telling people how horrible they are, because they already know that. And they're already convinced of it, and that's part of the problem, because they're already thinking they're not worthy to receive anything. So why point out the fact that they're really not worthy, and you're confirming it? No, what you're saying is that there's a Father in heaven who loves you, and he wants to shed that love abroad upon your heart. He wants to pour it out into your spirit. He wants to save you and forgive you and bring you into the fullness of who he is. And I'm going to connect you with him right now. And I'm going to show you, look at me. I'm going to show you his heart right now. Wow. So you look at him in the face. And you show him Jesus. Wow. Because he's in you. Did you know that? Did you, everyone here know that Jesus is in you? And he's just so excited about wanting to get out of you and touch someone else. Mm. Wow. Let me go, he said. Let me out. Open the door so I can minister to the people around you. Wow. When we open up the love of God, everything works. When water begins to flow, everything. How many have noticed how your mood changes when it rains? First sound it rains, it's raining. And sure, there's a temporary problem. I can't do the things I want to do, but I'm thinking about what's going to be like. I mean, this was a bad week with clouds and rain. Then I woke up, was it yesterday? Sunshine. Wow. Thinking, man, what a wonderful day. Because now I know it's going to be green. It's going to smell good. Everything's going to work. Because when we open our hearts up to the love of God, everything works. Everything happens. Everything begins to change in your life. So when you become a love connection, kind of takes the pressure off of you, frankly, because all of a sudden you've got a new job and you're getting paid a commission, and you know that everywhere you go you're going to make a sale, and it's going to bring great blessing and reward to you, because the more you give, the more you're going to receive. Pretty soon you quit worrying about your problems. You see, you quit worrying about what you can't pay this week or pay next week. You quit worrying about all this stuff, and you start thinking, man, this thing has great recompense of reward. God is going to bless my socks off, because I'm going to give so much out of my spirit of who he is that it's going to increase upon me, and then I'll be so abundantly filled with the blessing of God that there'll be not room to contain it in my life. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Huh. His love. His love. I like a little messages on love every now and then, don't you? Amen? It's good stuff. Thank the Lord. Amen. It's good stuff. Open your hands to the Lord this morning. Stand up with me. Oh, Lord, we receive the good stuff this morning. The right stuff. The holy substance of your love, of your favor, of your blessing. Lord, we are your sons and daughters this morning, creating us. Creating us, Lord, this boldness of access, this boldness of believing, this boldness of becoming. This boldness of seeing something happen through us as the water flows out of us, Lord. It's this temple you're building, this holy temple unto you, Lord, that who we are, the temple of God. Let it flow out of us, the water, in all the dead places, all the places that need life. Let it come forth this day out of the house of the Lord. Let it come forth out of you. I commission you in Jesus' name that you are an all-access people, that you have no limitations on your reaching into the heart of the Father, and no limitations on your faith in believing God to express himself through you. I release that upon you now in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare the glorious liberty of the sons of God to be upon you, that you be set free, free indeed this morning, free to serve, free to love, free to give in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. The Lord is good. Man, thank you, Lord. We receive all of it. This is called the double dose of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We got a few people want to share something this morning. Confirm the word.
Yeah, so we just say, uncork us, Lord. We just let the stagnant water out, and we just receive your river of life, God. And we just go into this week not waiting for opportunities to just happen to us, but we are creating opportunities with every person that we encounter. And we just say, yes, Lord, we are excited to spread your glory and your love.
I just wanted to confirm what the pastor said. I was in worship, and right at the end of worship, everything felt great, but I was kind of looking around in the spirit, and everybody's waiting in water. And I was wondering, I was like, what is that, Lord? And then you started talking about the water flowing from the temple of Ezekiel. I was like, that's for us.
We are the people that are of the temple. We are the temple. And this water is going to be rushing out of this temple to water the earth.
Lord, we love you. Fashion us your heart, Lord. Fashion us, Lord, hearts of your heart of your making. We are your workmanship. We are your love. Reach through us, Lord. Love your nations, your people, your bride, your special treasures. Love wins. Love rules.